Hi, I'm Andy Reid.
And I'm Mike Porter.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations, which is aired on the third Wednesday of each month from 2 until 3 p.m. on WGXC Acre, 90.7 FM.
On each show, invited guests will be asked to discuss a number of items that they intend taking with them on their Catskill Cabin getaway. As we discuss their chosen items, it is hoped that you, the listener, will enjoy getting to know that person a little bit better.
Today's guest is Ellsworth Unk Slater. Unk was born one of 10 kids in Prattsville, New York. He was raised on a farm with no electricity during his early childhood. He started working in the local grocery store during high school and made a career of it, and ended up owning Slater's Great American in Cairo for 16 years. He fell off the mountaintop and fell in love, got married at age 19, and has a son, Justin, and a daughter, Bethany. He will be a grandpa in April of 2016. His favourite hobbies are beekeeping, woodworking, bicycling, hunting and fishing. Unk, welcome to the show.
Good evening, thank you.
It's great to have you here.
Unk, I'm curious about beekeeping.
Yeah, me too. I was going to say that.
Well, there's a lot to know about beekeeping.
How did you get into beekeeping?
Well, I had a friend, Bob Singer, and he did bees. And
did you say Bob Seger?
Bob Singer.
Oh, Bob Singer.
Not Bob Seger. Bob Singer. And he did it, and there's a local bee club right in Acre, and it's a really popular bee club. We have over 100 members.
Oh.
And that's a pretty good-sized group for in Greene County.
So wow. What do you do in a bee club?
Bee club, they teach you how to keep bees. They give all kinds of support. They have mentors that will work with you. And anybody's interested in keeping bees, you go there, they'll explain everything to you. They have monthly meetings, and they'll go over certain topics, you know, like how to close your hives for the winter, you know, what to do, how to make splits. And
Do you build your own, what do they call the split?
For a hive? Your own hives, you mean?
Yeah.
No, you can buy them put together, you can make your own, or you can buy the pieces and put them together yourself. Even though I'm a woodworker and I could do that, I bought them and just put them together myself.
Yeah.
And do you do it primarily for the honey?
No, I only eat about maybe 1 pound of honey a year myself.
Yeah.
I just give it away to my friends and neighbors, stuff like that.
I would love to try the honeycomb, you know, rather than the
comb honey,
Yeah.
I just do it for fun.
Excellent. On you go.
I've been hearing about the hive, the bee
colony collapse disorder.
Yes, that. Yes. Is that something that you've encountered at all or had problems with?
I haven't personally myself.
Good.
I know it's a problem with the bees, and that's another reason why started keeping bees. I grow our organic garden and figured the bees would help that as well.
Yeah,
and
pollinate everything.
Help the bees and get a little honey and find out what it was all about.
Great.
Now, this could be a daft question, but do you get stung often?
If you're going to be a beekeeper, you're going to get stung. Yes.
Right. Bummer.
Often, it depends on what you call. Often, if I go in, I only keep three hives. If I go in there and check all three of them, I might get, two or three bee stings on a bad day.
Right.
If you're careful, the more careful you are. And when it comes time to take the honey out, obviously,
they don't like that.
More involved. Yeah. Well, there's different ways to do it, and I don't probably do it the most gentlest way. You can put a bee board and get them out, but I just brush them off.
Right.
So.
Now, I was reading something online today, and it said that bees can recognize human faces. So there's a chance that your bees actually recognize you when you come to the hive.
He's back for the honey. Get him.
Right. That might not be good. I might have to wear a mask.
And one other thing that I found really interesting, I do like HIV testing and stuff like that for my job. And I found this point really interesting that the stings from bees, there's a toxin in bee venom, and it's called melanin. And researchers are saying that this may prevent HIV.
Really?
Can
That's
kill
amazing.
HIV by poking holes into the virus's protective envelope. Meanwhile, when this substance hitches a ride on certain viruses, or sort of nanoparticles, it would just bounce off normal cells and leave them unharmed. And it's been used in scientific research.
That's amazing.
That's pretty cool. I haven't heard that.
I find that really, really interesting, actually.
Yeah. What a great breakthrough.
Bees are one of the most important species on this planet, aren't they?
Oh, critical for crops. And
the bees are very fascinating. I could talk to you for the next 2 days about that.
But yeah.
It's pretty fascinating how they work.
Yeah. Now, Unc, you're going to be a grandfather.
Yes, I am. I've been looking forward to that for a lot of years. I've
always wanted to. Are you excited?
I've been borrowing other people's kids. And so I can have some grandkids, but I'm finally going to get some. Yes.
Great. Now, do you know if it's a boy or a girl?
That we do not know yet. They found out, and actually Saturday they're having a reveal party, they call it nowadays. So they're going to, you bite into a cupcake, and depends on what color the flavor, the filling is what the sex is going to be.
Right.
So we'll find out Saturday.
Nice. Well, I am very happy for you, and congratulations, and I will pray for everything to be okay.
Yeah, congratulations.
Exactly, so, no matter what's...
Yep. My brother and his wife are having a baby in the end of March. I was in Scotland recently, and while we were out having an Indian takeaway, he got the phone call to say that it was a little boy.
So
we're excited. But excited no matter what the sex of the baby. And as far as I'm concerned, as long as the baby and the mummy are healthy, that's all that matters.
Exactly.
Now, do you know if they're going to paint the room special with special colors?
They're going to set up some type of nursery, I imagine, since they know
what
sex is going to be.
So you haven't been able to drop by and get a preview?
Yeah.
They'll probably keep you guessing, probably pick a neutral color or something.
I don't think they've done anything yet. It's been pretty busy so far.
Pinkish, bluish, purpley color.
<That's right.
laughs>
Now, speaking of colors, our first song is Dolly Parton's...
Well, that was well smooth, Mike, I have to say.
I've been called a natural sometimes. I can't brag. But Coat of Many Colors by Dolly Parton. Andy, you want to take it away with that?
Well, Dolly Parton, there's what can you say about Dolly Parton? First of all, Unc, why does this song something special to you?
Well, I was born and raised on country music. My father and sister used to... Back in the day, all the local fire departments had their square dances and round dances on Friday nights and Saturday nights.
Yeah.
And my father and sister used to play for them.
Was this in Prattsville?
This was in Prattsville,
right,
yeah.
Right.
So they used to play for a round of square dances, and lots of times after the firehouse closed down, the people would actually come to our house. We'd move out the kitchen table.
Brilliant.
And they'd play and sing all night long, and my mother would be making pancakes. And
that's brilliant, isn't it?
Cooking eggs until like 4 o'clock in the morning, then everybody would go home and do their farm chores.
And that's just fun. I mean, I think a lot of kids nowadays, they don't appreciate how invigorating that is. You know, when we were at your wedding, Mike, and we were doing what kind of dancing was
square
that?
Square dancing.
The square dancing.
Yeah.
It was such fun, it really is such fun.
Yeah.
And I don't think people, especially young kids nowadays, don't appreciate how fun that is,
Right. In that particular song, by the way, that was Coat of Many Colors. It talks about, obviously, somebody that was poor and their mother made a coat out of rags, basically.
Yeah.
And the story is we were poor.
Yeah.
If we were poor enough that if it cost 25 cents to go around the world, we probably couldn't afford to get out of the driveway.
Right.
But we didn't know that.
Were you poor financially, but rich in spirit?
That's right. There was 10 of us, and we made our own fun. And my mother made a dress for my sister out of a flour sack they used to come in cloth.
Right.
And she made that for my sister, and my sister actually got in a fight in school over that because they were making fun of her dress because my mother made it out of a flour sack.
Mm.
And this is kind of a song that reminds me of that. I've always liked that.
So is it kind of bittersweet, or is it kind of, do you look back fondly?
I look back fondly. I was very blessed that I was raised the way I was raised.
Yeah.
I think the kids today miss out on a lot of things because...
I think a couple of things that come to mind, because I didn't grow up affluent at all. We grew up and, we didn't know we were poor because we didn't know what poor was. If you look, compare it to nowadays, we were poor financially, but, in spirit, we were loved and we came a secure family and we had our brain and we could make games and we could enjoy ourselves, And I'm sensing that's the same for you, so...
Exactly. I'm the kind of guy that can have lots of fun without any money.
Yeah.
If money's what your goal is to make yourself happy, it's going to be a pretty sad life.
Yeah. And I think, I think what it does is it helps you realize the value of simplicity,
Exactly. I said earlier, it's being simple is a gift, and boy, am I gifted.
Back through the years, I go wandering once again, back to the seasons of my youth, I recall a box of rags that someone gave us, and how my mama put the rags to use. There were rags of many colors, but every piece was small, and I didn't have a coat, and it was way down in the fall. Mama sewed the rags together, so in every piece with love, she made my coat of many colors that I was so proud of. As she sewed, she told a story from the Bible she had read about a coat of many colors Joseph wore, and then she said, perhaps this coat will bring you good luck and happiness. And I just couldn't wait to wear it, and Mama blessed it with a kiss. My coat of many colors that my mama made for me, made only from rags, but I wore it so proudly. Although we had no money, why was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. So with patches on my breeches and holes in both my shoes, in my coat of many colors I hurried off to school, just to find the others laughing and making fun of me. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me. And oh, I couldn't understand it, for I felt I was rich. And I told them all the love my mama sewed in every stitch. And I told them all the story mama told me why she sewed, and how my coat of many colors was worth more than all their clothes. But they didn't understand it, and I tried to make them see that one is only poor, only if they choose to be. Now I know we had no money, but I was rich as I could be. In my coat of many colors my mama made for me, just for me.
That was Dolly Parton, Coat of Many Colours. Now, undoubtedly, Dolly Parton is the queen of country music, isn't she?
Oh, yeah.
She's, you know, she's won umpteen awards, and she's written about 3,000 songs and had umpteen hits and stuff like that. But she's not only that. She's done a lot of things. Obviously, there's the Dollywood theme park, but one of the things that struck my attention when I was reading about her was that she's created this childhood literacy centre on behalf of children who need to help with reading and stuff. And she's got this imagination library. I don't really know too much about it, but I'm going to have to look into that and see what that is all about. But I think that's good for, you know, somebody like Dolly Parton to be doing stuff like that, because it shows that she's...
We do that through our church, the Imagination Library.
Yeah.
Through Dolly Parton, yes.
What is it?
Yeah, I'm not 100% real familiar with it. What it is, it's a, you donate money. It's, I think it's like around $5 a month, and the kids get so many books per year.
Right.
Because they can't afford books. They actually,
that's great.
They subsidize it and turn it into more money and send books to the kids.
Mm. Excellent. Excellent. Well, that was great. Dolly Parton, she's a great choice, Unc. I really enjoyed that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Shall we move on, Michael?
Indeed. The next item that you're going to bring is a guitar with music. What kind of guitar, Unc?
Well, I have a both have a classical guitar and a regular country guitar, standard guitar. I just play for myself. Mm-hmm. I said my father and my sister play guitar. We used to, that was our entertainment. You know, we get out of the barn, and my father and sister, after we had dinner, they'd play songs we'd sing and entertain ourselves. And I never knew how to play a guitar. I learned other instruments, but I guess it was maybe, I don't know, maybe 20 years ago, I decided I'm going to learn to play guitar. So I bought an old $50 guitar and
wow,
taught myself the chords. So, And I love to do that. I drive my wife nuts doing that, so you know.
I'm sure, you know, just for the people who are listening, Unc's wife is Pam Slater. We had Pam on the show maybe about a year ago or something. But she plays, am I right in saying she plays the organ?
Yeah, she plays the organ, and she's really into classical music.
Right, well, you can get her back playing the guitar. You know, while she's sitting doing some crochet, you can annoy her with the guitar.
Yeah, she takes it a lot more seriously than I do. I just play for fun.
So have you written any songs or anything?
Oh, no, I don't write songs. I just sing to the chords and sing the songs I know.
Cowboy music?
Yeah, you got it. Yep.
Great.
Can you read music and play the guitar with music, sheet music?
Yeah, chords.
Yeah.
What I really want to do is I want to teach myself classical guitar to learn the notes.
Yeah.
And I said when I retired, that's what I was going to do. I was going to have time to teach myself that.
Yeah.
And I haven't really started that. That's still on my list to do.
Now, is that a different style of playing the guitar?
Well, yeah. You play by the notes and you're playing. Right. Well, you see one of my songs is a classical guitar song.
Right.
Because I really like the guitar. And I like even though I was born and raised on country music, I still like classical music.
Right.
And my wife is the one that got me listening to classical music.
Sure.
So I like that as well. I like most music.
Well, you know, your next song has guitar or lute in it, depending on the version you listen to. And this is going to be Vivaldi's Allegro from the Trio for Violin, Lute, or guitar, and basso, continuo in C major. Vivaldi was an Italian Baroque composer, virtuoso, violinist, teacher, cleric, born in Venice, and became very influential all throughout Europe. He's most well known, I'd say, for his Four Seasons.
Yes.
Four Seasons Suite. So why this song, Unc?
It's not so much why this song. I really like guitar music. To me, it's the most relaxing period. And I love John Williams. And this is one on, I have maybe four or five of his CDs, and this is one of the favorites I have on that CD. Again, until I had looked up what the title was, I really didn't even know what it was. I just listened to it because I like it.
Sure.
Excellent. And that's, first and foremost, that's the way it should be. You listen to it because you like it, not because of somebody's reputation, you know. So I'm glad you said that, yeah.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC Acra 90.7 FM. Today in the studio we have Unc Slater, and that was Allegro from Trio in C major for violin, lute, and basso continuo. On the lute or guitar there was John Williams, and not the John Williams of E.T., Jaws, Hook, Saving Private Ryan, Star Wars fame, among dozens of other films.
Are you a fan of the other John Williams?
Well, I don't know.
You seem to know all of those movies now.
I'm familiar with his work. So it is not that same John Williams. This is a different guy. They're both doing quite well with the name musically, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, can I ask, Unc, you say you have a basic guitar that you bought years ago and a classic guitar. What's the difference of the guitars?
The neck size. The classical guitar has a wider neck, so there's more space between the strings because you're playing more individual notes than the chord guitar. Obviously, you're playing more strings together.
So. Right. Mm. And is it a different sound as well?
I have both acoustical guitars, so there's not a whole lot of difference between. Right. I mean, there is a little from the strings. The strings are nylon on classical guitar, and they're metal on the country guitar.
Right.
Mm. So I mean, there is a different timbre.
Right. Interesting. Now, the next thing you would like to take with you, Unc, is a gun and fishing pole.
All in one device.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's just like a gun fishing pole. Like if you're not catching any fish, you can shoot them or something.
Yeah, really. Yeah, if you're in case you run out of bait.
Or a fishing pole that just launches bullets, catapult style.
Right.
So what kind of gun would you like to take with you?
I put on a gun if it's, obviously if it's during hunting season. I do like to hunt.
What do you like to hunt?
I used to do a lot of small game hunting and rabbit hunting with a rabbit dog when I was on the farm growing up, and I like that the best, actually, but I haven't done that in years.
Now, how does that work?
Well, you get a beagle, and they naturally like to chase rabbits, and rabbits naturally run in circles. So when the dog finds the scent of the rabbit, they'll follow it until they find a rabbit, and a rabbit will take off, and you set where the dog started, and usually the rabbit will come back around.
Oh, well, okay. Unless it's like Bugs Bunny, and you just stand there with an arrogant pose eating a carrot.
So I was born and raised on a farm, so obviously I ate meat. I know some people don't like hunting, but I think if as long as you eat what you shoot, I mean, whether I shoot it and eat it, whether you go to the grocery store and bought something that somebody else raised and killed for you, I don't see a big difference in that. But
it's funny you say that. I had that conversation with my boss a few days ago, and I was saying, well, it's hard for me to lambast hunting if I'm going to go into the store and buy meat for my dinner.
Yeah,
exactly. I was just born and raised on a farm, and we'd raise our own hogs and we'd raise our own beef, and it's actually harder to do that because, you know, we weaned that beef from his mother by feeding it with their fingers and milk and maybe rode on it and petted it, the whole thing. But then you knew that was going to be your source for food. So that's the way it was.
Did your parents say, don't give that a name?
No, we never had a problem with that. So when you're born and raised on a farm, it's a different mentality. But again, if you're going to eat the meat, whether it's a cow that I petted and ate or whether I go and shoot a deer and eat the deer, as long as you eat it. Just to shoot something to shoot it, that doesn't make sense.
I think that's wrong. But
just for the sport of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you have any beagles that were particularly adept at chasing rabbits or other game?
Well, I only had two beagles, and one was extremely slow, and that wasn't much fun hunting with the dog.
Why was it a slow dog? Was it fat?
It just would not take his nose from the ground, and it would just methodically follow that rabbit no matter where it went, and it would never lose a rabbit, and it would never hold up, but it would be like deer hunting. You'd have to set extremely still, the rabbit would see you. So it wasn't much fun that way, but it was good exercise for the dogs. She had fun. And I said we ate the meat, so we had a lot of rabbit and squirrel pie my mother used to make.
Why didn't you just threaten the dog, say, listen, if you don't buck up, boy, you're being hunted?
And then I had the other dog that was opposite. It was so fast that you had to be careful you didn't shoot the dog when the rabbit came around.
Oh, golly, yeah.
Yeah, so one extreme to the other.
And you use, like, birdshot on a rabbit.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, like a shotgun slug or something.
Yeah, shotgun, yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Is it no rabbit shot?
I don't know.
If you're shooting a rabbit, will you?
Yeah, well, there's a different size shot for it. Depends on which animal you're going to shoot.
Right, but if you're going to use bird shot, then we shooting a bird with that.
No, I don't know. I just thought it was all the same.
Actually, buckshot isn't for a buck either. You use a slug for that.
Yeah, yeah. And what about a fishing pole? What do you like to go fishing for?
I like to fish. Basically, the bigger fish, the better.
Mm-hmm.
But I used to like to do trout fishing, but the trout fishing locally is not too good anymore around here. But if I was up in the country or up way back in the woods someplace and there was a couple ponds or something like that. So I get a little bass or some trout would be nice.
Yeah.
My brother, he fishes trout. He's not been fishing for a while because he's, you know, he's raising a family, but and his job's got, you know, hours that are, you know, require him to be there a lot. But essentially he loves trout fishing. But I found fishing to be, I get bored easy, yeah. You know, and if I'm not biting, then I'm like, right, let's go and have a coffee somewhere, you know.
Yeah. Right, I'm not the diehard fisherman who likes to go out there and spend all day fishing. And yeah. We have a camp up to 1,000 Islands, and that's where I do most of my fishing.
Yeah.
And we catch pike and smallmouth bass. Mm-hmm. But I'll go out and spend a half hour if they're not biting, then I'll go back and I'll do something else.
Yeah.
I love the Thousand Islands. It's great, isn't it?
Thousand Islands is beautiful.
Do you ever catch and eat anything out of the St. Lawrence there?
We have. I don't. Usually what I do now is I catch and release on fish. Yeah. Mm.
I have never caught a fish and eaten it. I think I've mentioned that on the program before, and I want to do that someday.
Well, you'll have to come up to Thousand Islands, and we'll have to do that.
Yeah. Time.
Yeah.
That'd be great.
Now, do you ever watch that program, River Monsters?
I haven't watched television in 14 years.
Well, so. I'm liking you even more, by the way.
You know, I do not even have a television hooked up so I can watch it if I wanted to.
You know that it's 14 years. What was the event that ended the television experience for you?
Well, I had a heart attack 14 years ago.
Oh, okay.
And watching the television, I just decided it was not something that made me relaxed or comfortable doing it. To me, it's a sad commentary on the mentality of America, and I don't care to be reminded that much every day of it.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, I applaud your attitude there. I watch television. I like to. I'm kind of watching fewer and fewer programs. Like I watch Jeopardy, and I watch programs that satisfy me. You know, if I want a laugh, I'll watch Seinfeld. If I wanted. But there's too much rubbish on the TV now.
Oh, yeah.
Right. I used to, at the very end, the last few years, I used to watch the, you know, public access networks, like
PBS.
PBS, can't remember, the Travel Channel, the Learning Channel, stuff like that.
Yeah. Mm.
But that's what made me turn off the television for good.
Yeah.
Because even those channels were getting infiltrated with everything else. I don't care to watch poker on the Learning Channel.
Yeah, or like Ancient Aliens on the History Channel. It's like,
exactly.
There's nothing about history here. It's conspiracy theories.
Or to watch the Chop Shop on the Learning Channel in Middletown. It's like, this is what used to be good television. That's what passes as good television now?
Yeah.
So that's when I turned it off. I said, that's it. I got better things to do. I can read a book.
You are wise.
I can do woodworking. I can do lots of other things, and I don't need to be aggravated. It made me want to reach out and touch someone.
Yeah. And you're woodworking. You've done some incredible work. In particular, I've seen really cool bowls that you make. Can you describe those to us?
I love woodworking. I turn bowls out of burls. And
what is a burl?
A burl is a growth on a tree. It usually comes when a tree was younger. It got damaged. And just like if you get a scar, that's how the tree heals itself. It keeps growing over and growing over. Mm. But it makes the grain really wild, different colors and everything else. And it's if you don't know what a burl bowl is, you have to see one that's just like really cool grain.
Yeah.
And I get them from the local loggers. Mm-hmm. And I make turn bowls. And I do cabinet making as well. Do cabinetry, pretty much whatever you can make out of wood.
Mm. Do you sell your wares?
No, I basically make them and give them away to friends and family.
Oh, you're a good man.
Honey, bowls. What else do you make and give away?
Cabinets.
Merry Christmas. A cabinet, inside a bowl, and inside the bowl, honey.
There you go.
It's like Winnie the Pooh's dream.
It is, isn't it?
Yeah.
And a rabbit.
Yes.
Sitting there, we are eating a... Yeah, what's up, Doc?
So that's what I do instead of watching television. When people ask me how I had time enough to do that woodworking.
Yeah.
Well, even when I owned a grocery store and I got... If I didn't go home till 7, 8 o'clock at night, 7 o'clock, I'd eat a quick dinner or I already eat dinner. And I go downward to my wood shop until 11 or 12 o'clock. So that's a half day's work that someone else would be watching television.
Yep.
That's how I do a lot of woodworking.
Yeah, good man. Good man.
Now, Unc, your next song is more difficult to pronounce than your first song.
Yes, it is. Don't ask me how to pronounce it.
This is Contine d'un autre et l'après-midi. by Jan Tiersen from the Amélie soundtrack, the motion picture set in Paris, France, about a young woman who makes it her mission to basically help others find love and happiness.
Sorry, Mike, could you say that again?
this is the Comptine. So, tell us about that. Why this particular song?
Well, this particular, actually, let me back up. Jan Tiersen wrote this. He wrote the soundtrack for Amélie, the movie.
Yeah.
And my daughter loved that. Actually, my daughter spent a year in France on a Fulbright. So anything French she likes, tends to like. But she likes Jan Tiersen. She gave me a CD of it, and I really liked it. And I make my daughter plays it on piano, and just about any time my daughter comes to my house, or actually I just went to her house a couple of weeks ago, and I make her play it for me on the piano. So
that's nice.
I used to love sitting in a chair and listening to my daughter playing Jan Tiersen on the piano. She used to play them all. And this is one that I particularly liked.
Well, let's check it out. Comptine d'un autre et l'après-midi, Jan Tiersen.
You're listening to Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXE 90.7 FM, Acre. Unc, your next item I have on my list is clove chicken.
Yes, actually 40 clove chicken, which stands for 40 cloves of garlic.
So are you bringing a cooked chicken with you? Or is it a chicken that's going to turn up with like a couple of bags? Well,
I don't know. You didn't tell me whether I had a stove or not. But if I had a stove, I'd probably just bring the ingredients and make it there.
Right.
Otherwise, I'd probably have it pre-made and bring it.
Right. So what? So can you explain this? What did you say? 40 clove chicken?
Right. 40 cloves of garlic.
Right.
Which sounds like...
I hope you're not planning and kissing somebody later on.
most people think like 40 clove chicken. How could you eat that? But it's really good. I've never made it for someone who doesn't like it.
Right. So explain. Give us the lowdown on this.
It's whole cloves of garlic. I don't know if you have roasted garlic, but it's a whole different flavor than just chopping up garlic and putting it in. Because the more you chop garlic, the stronger the flavor gets.
Okay.
And when you roast it, it kind of gets more mellower. It gets like buttery consistency. Uh-huh. And it's really, really good. It's awesome.
Mm.
And I'm a food guy, so I like food in more ways than one. I grow it and I eat it.
Do you cook?
Yes, I cook. Yep.
What's your favorite area of food to cook? Or is
do you like to bake or grill?
Cook, period. And not really bake. Not bake so much. I mean, I've made some desserts and stuff, but usually cook.
Right. If me and Mike were to come to your house tomorrow night, what would you cook us?
If you obviously have to make 40 clove chicken.
Yes. Yeah.
You know,
I have a request for that. I'm making it Saturday. Actually, my daughter-in-law at just requested, I found out yesterday, for me to make 40 clove chicken for their reveal party to find out what's...
Oh, great.
For my grandchild.
So there's going to be frosting-filled cupcakes and 40 clove chicken.
That's right.
Now, this might sound daft, right? But see, if you're cooking 40 clove chicken for like a massive amount of people, and you were deciding to cook three chickens, would it be 120 cloves?
Yes.
Yeah?
Hell yeah. Yeah, if you double the chicken, then I would double the
right. cloves. And how many cloves are in a head of garlic?
No, it depends on the head of garlic, but it's about maybe 10 or 12.
Right. Gosh, that's a lot of garlic.
That is a lot of garlic.
Yeah, but
isn't
you've
it?
Got to try it. It does not have the garlic flavor like you think of garlic when you cook it like that.
Unc, I remember a conversation we had some time ago where you told me about canned beef.
Oh, yes.
Jarred beef.
Can we just clarify here, Mike?
Yeah.
Was he telling you never to eat it, or was he telling you the virtues of it?
He was saying that... go ahead, Unc. What do you...
Well, again, I was born and raised on a farm. We had no electricity, so we had to preserve our food. And one way we preserved it was canning it. Mm-hmm. And obviously, nowadays, they don't even recommend it. You can meat, but we used to can our beef because that's how we could keep it. And it really breaks down really...
Well, can I ask you a quick... You can something, do you not... How is it hard to seal it?
Well, it's in a canning jar. You got to do it properly.
Right. Right.
It's just like they can vegetables. Well, you got to cook it longer
right.
in a higher temperature,
right.
and you can the beef. Mm. And I have not had that, I think, since I was on the farm. But canned beef is awesome. It's
awesome.
Best,
what makes
it's
awesome?
It's the best stuff. It just tastes good. I could remember my mother would take the canned beef and she'd make a flour gravy and put that in there on pancakes.
Just romanticizing it, and then you would maybe taste it tomorrow and go, God, that's disgusting.
That could be. It's like, something looks a lot bigger when you were smaller, but no, I don't remember it that way. It was really good.
I'll tell you a story. Years ago, my dad worked in a factory. You know, I must have been about five or something. And the factory had a flood, and it was a food factory with all these cans of different foods, right? So it was maybe like a holding factory where they made deliveries and all that.
Yeah.
So there was a flood, and all these pallets of tinned food were floating about, and all the labels come off and all that. So what they did was they made black bags full of tins, and the workers could take like a black bag for like $2,
Oh, yeah.
And so for a period of time, my mum would be making the dinner, and she'd say, give me one of those tins, dude. So she says she's making fish and potatoes or something like that, and you'd open one of the tins, it's like a tin of peaches. She's like, no, try another one. You open it up, and it's like, I don't know, artichokes or something, Just to it's a potluck,
That's when you got to be creative. Whatever you open up, you got to figure out where to use it. Right?
Have you ever tried haggis?
No, I've never even heard of that. What is it?
Scottish cuisine, haggis.
No, I haven't tried
it. It's like the national dish. It's kind of like...
Gross.
See, he's saying gross. He's never even tasted it.
I have.
When?
When I went with you to the Celtic Festival.
Right. Did you really think it was gross?
No, not necessarily. No. I mean, it's not something that I'd, at a restaurant be like, ooh, haggis, that's what I'm going to get. But it was okay.
Right. Well, yeah. It's kind of like a...
Well, it's like a sheepskin. Our stomach.
And the food's cooked in it, and it's like oats and meat and spices and all that, and it's... So.
Okay, yep, I know what you mean now. Yep, I've never had it.
No?
Fancy meatloaf in a sheep's gut.
I loved it. And black pudding, we call it blood pudding here.
Blood pudding,
black
yeah.
pudding. I had that. I just...
Which is actually blood, right? Like congealed blood?
Yeah. It's blood and oats and spices and all that. Mm.
I've been intrigued by that in the UK. Pudding refers to so many things. You can have a bread pudding or like a blood pudding. Pudding can be like a dessert. Whereas here, the only time you call something pudding is like...
Dessert?
Yeah, like out of a pudding cup.
Yeah.
Like the gloppy, jello-y. And I'm just interested how the difference in the language.
Well, here's another one. And I don't know if this is strictly just a Glasgow thing, but... My mum will say, would you like a cup of tea?
Yeah.
So you obviously, that is what it's suggesting, a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. But Scottish, Glaswegian people have their dinner at dinner time. They call it tea, their tea.
Oh.
So you'll say, you want your tea? And because it's a particular time, you know what your mum's saying. Tea meaning dinner. You like your dinner.
Yeah.
So it's like tea time.
It's
bizarre. It's just one of those weird...
Boy, that seems like something good to warn somebody about if they're going to Scotland. So they're not just like, oh, yeah, I'm going to have a cup of tea. And all of a sudden they're getting plates of food. And,
yeah. Yeah. You know? It's true. You know, and it's strange. Don't ask me.
What could be wrong with that?
Yeah, that's true. Bonus.
Yeah, really.
And then you get like black pudding put, don't you? When you first wake up in the morning and stuff.
I like to try different foods myself.
The Scottish people have had a rough time of it historically. If blood pudding and haggis is their go-to form of sustenance.
I mean, in a serious note, these things were made and came about because people didn't want to just throw away the...
Yeah.
They used everything as much as possible.
They used everything as much as they could.
It's awesome.
And it's not just a Scottish thing. It's a kind of European thing. Mm. You go to places like Finland and Norway and the Scandinavians and Germany and all that. They all make blood pudding and stuff, you know? So
yeah. Right. Just like when we butchered our pigs, we made head cheese out of it. You know, you used all the little pieces. You couldn't do anything else. You made head cheese.
Yeah.
I can't remember. What is head cheese again?
Head cheese, little bits of meat mixed up with a bunch of other, I don't know exactly what.
And a jelly.
Into like a jelly.
Like a gel. Yeah. Yeah. Compact.
I've never tasted it.
I don't know why they call it cheese. But
yeah, so I've always wondered that. So why call it cheese, you know?
As a kid, I was pretty disappointed. I found out there was actually no cheese in head cheese.
What was the other one? Bombay duck. Bombay duck's a fish, isn't it? Don't know why.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, Bombay duck is fish.
As my father used to say, we used to use all the pig parts, including the tail, and made whistles out of those. And we really didn't make whistles out of them, but that's what I used to say.
Well, hey, it can't be as bad as like, what is it, lutefisk, that Norwegian jello fish. Have you ever had that?
I have never had that, and I don't even know if I care to have that.
Yeah. It joked about often on Prairie Home Companion. Mm-hmm. And, you know, these Lutheran Norwegians out in the Midwest near Lake Wobegon, he talks about how once a year or whatever, it's customary to have this lutefisk, which is this disgusting, like, rotten fish, basically, that's turned into jelly because
it's
decomposed.
It's actually put in lye or something like that to get it that way. Yeah.
And that's
I was watching a program, and it was like something like Japan or China, and this fish that was left to rot for about a year or something. And they were eating, you know, as a delicacy.
What?
And the stench, I can't remember who it was. I think it was maybe, I don't know, one of these Travel Channel guys. And they said the stench off this thing is probably one of the only things I never ate.
Gross. Now, Unc, your next item is a bicycle. And what kind of bicycle and why would you bring that?
Well, I love the bicycle. Since I had my heart attack, I have to... cardio. Actually, I should have been doing that before my heart attack, obviously. But I try to be good, and I've really found out that I love the bicycle, and I take long rides. I'll go 60 miles, 80 miles up all over the Catskill Mountains. And so if we're going to be in a cabin someplace and I got some free time, I'll be on my bicycle someplace.
And you have a road bike?
I have a road bike, yep.
And is this like one of those carbon fiber, aluminum, space shuttle?
Unfortunately, it is one of those nice carbon fiber. I treated myself good.
Wow.
I figured I don't go to the gym, but for a few years of going to the gym, I can afford to buy myself a nice bicycle.
Awesome.
And I use it for my health, and it'll be a bicycle for the rest of my life. I'm sure of it.
Yeah. And is this one of these, like, when you pedal, the frame won't bend? It's just like a solid mass under you? And
yeah, well, it has some flex in it.
Is it one of those rubber bikes you're talking about?
for the bikers out there, it's a specialized Roubaix is what it is.
Okay.
And it's carbon fiber.
Do you wear all the tight lycra and all that?
Do I wear all those sissy shorts and all that stuff?
Yeah. Yes.
Yes, actually, I do.
And what kind of, any special helmet or?
I wear a bicycle helmet, yes.
Mm. One of those windswept ones?
I don't know what you call windswept, but they're all kind of like that nowadays.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you clip your feet in?
Yep, I use clips, clip my feet in.
That scares me.
Yeah, that terrifies me too.
Well, there is definitely a learning curve. I can tell you a little story about that. The first time I had it, we were actually on camping in the Thousand Islands, and my son and his girlfriend were walking toward me by the bathhouse, and I was just coming back for a ride. And I slowed down, forgetting I was clipped in, until the last minute when you normally put your feet down to catch yourself. Well, trust me, you cannot get your feet out fast enough to catch yourself.
No.
So they had a very good laugh at my expense.
I'm laying
on the ground right there in front of them. It was, if you remember laughing, it was like the guy on the tricycle would just come up and over he went. I'm sure that's what I look like.
It's
a learning curve. But after you only do that once or twice, and then, you know, you don't remember. It's like getting burned on a stove. You know, you do it once or twice, you won't touch the stove again.
Now, when we just came into the house earlier, Unc, you showed me pictures of you being bumped and scraped.
Yeah, I had a bicycle accident this summer. You're going to make me tell about that too?
relive the pain, man.
Tell us more.
Relive the stupidity, you mean. That was just stupid. Yeah, that was 45 miles into a 65 mile ride.
That's impressive to begin with.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I was 19.8 miles an hour for an average, and I was trying to get 20 miles an hour, and I was going up this long grade, and I saw something in my front sprocket going around. I was like, oh, do I need to stop or can I keep going? And next thing I know, I looked down again and I got my answer. I went off the side of the road.
Oh, no.
And the sad thing is it was a brand new paved road and it was like 8 foot wide shoulder. And I went off the edge of it just because I wasn't paying attention.
Yeah.
And I know I was going 24 miles an hour. That's why I was trying to get that 20 mile an hour average.
Mm.
And so 24 miles an hour, hit the pavement, and I did a pretty good job on myself.
Yeah.
But I did finish the other 20 miles, and I made it home. But I lost a mile an hour.
Yeah. Well,
as long as you were, alive, you know.
I'm not complaining
at
all. I was pretty scraped up, but I'm no good.
They should create some sort of airbag system in those really tight spandex outfits so that if you're falling, it sends in and you just burn.
That would give someone like me just a little bit more intelligence so you don't do it in the first place.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
Oh, that's so handy.
That would be good.
It was that movie, Gene Wilder with a...
Willy Wonka?
Yeah, the Veruca Salt.
Yeah, was it Violet.
No. Yeah, she got in a big bubble.
Yeah, she becomes a blueberry.
Oh, right, yeah.
Oh, that's funny.
But I love the bicycle, so I definitely would take my bicycle.
And have you ever gotten into, like, mountain biking?
I have a mountain bike. I haven't done a lot of it. I found out I liked the road bike better.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, my brother and I just went to Vermont here last month, and we did 132 miles over to, they call it the Six Gaps. It's the famous bicycle route.
Mm-hmm.
That was some serious climbing. That had me questioning my own sanity. That was like, this could be considered stupid. But we made it. It was fun. I mean, overall, it was fun.
Right. And how many days did that take?
Well, if you're really Iron Man and a lot better than I am, you can do it. Some people do it in one day. But obviously, I think their bikes are geared a little bit lower than ours were. We didn't want to take it. We just wanted to do it. So we divided it up in 2 days and did it in 2 days.
Did you stay overnight somewhere?
Yeah, we stayed overnight there. So we just made a weekend of it. And
right. Did you just, like, camp out and stuff?
No, we didn't camp. We stayed in a motel. It was cool then, if you remember back.
As soon as you get to the hotel, into a bath to soothe the muscles.
Yeah.
Yep. But that was nice. I like doing that kind of stuff.
Have you been able to take your bike anywhere else on trips?
I go to Connecticut once in a while. I've ridden with my brother and his bike club down there.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go to Thousand Islands. I bicycle up there. My favorite is to bicycle the Catskill Mountains.
Yeah.
I love to go up over to Susquehanna Turnpike or up over out to Manorkill, Gilboa, Colesville, back around to Prattsville.
Your home country.
Yep, all those back roads. I do all the back roads. I don't do the main roads. I like to do the back roads.
Do you still have any property up in Prattsville?
No, I don't.
Right.
No.
Do you miss it?
I loved Prattsville. Prattsville was nice. I said we were blessed growing up, how we grew up and where we grew up.
Right.
It's a nice little community.
And has it changed at all? I mean, because obviously I'm from Scotland. I've only seen it for the last 8 years. So
there's not a whole lot of changes. I mean, there's subtle changes. People change and a few businesses have changed. But the biggest change, obviously, was the flood.
So
it's not a good change.
Yeah. But,
Andy and I were able to go to Mudfest on the anniversary of the flood and represent WGXC and interview some people and see the community, talk to folks in the community. It was great.
Yeah, it was very interesting. It was really, really busy. And it was really nice to see so many people out celebrating coming through it. You know?
Exactly.
Stronger.
Yeah.
Right.
Even better.
So, excellent. Now, shall we hit the last song?
Unc, your last song is Just As I Am, sung by Bill Anderson. Why Just As I Am?
Well, I like country. Bill Anderson's a country artist, but he had a gospel album that I have, and I've listened to that tons and tons of times. I used to listen to it all while when I exercised inside during the winter. And just as I am, pretty much is that's how I am, and that's why I like the song.
Yeah,
it's just as I am, and I know that just as I am, I have a God that understands that and forgives me and take me just as I am.
Excellent. Now, I'll be honest with you. I mean, I'm not a guru of by any manner of means in country music, but I've never really heard of Bill Anderson. I've never really heard of him.
Oh, really?
And I think he's one of those guys who, he was never really in the center stage, was he?
No, you can say that, right? He wasn't like one of the top guys like Charlie Pride or Hank Williams or something
yeah.
like that.
Yeah. But he had television programs and, you know, he was one of the mainstays in the Grand Ole Opry, and he's like 40 albums and, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. he's still going, you know.
And, I like this music.
And when I listen to the song, there's a really nice simplicity to his music, you know.
Yeah, it's a hymn in our church, actually, and we have a joke because my wife and a lot of the people in the choir know that's my favorite song.
Hmm.
And it seems as though I'm either assisting or I'm doing something else, but I'm never available when they sing this song. So I think they have a conspiracy going not to sing that song when I can actually sing it.
Yeah. Now, just before we play the song, I was looking at some of, you know, Bill's music, and I was fascinated. We talked earlier about you know, the difference between contemporary country music and, you know, old style music, kind of honky tonk.
Yep.
And I was kind of interesting to find out that Brad Paisley, Kenny Chesney, and George Strait had played some of James William Anderson's music.
Oh yeah,
and I found that quite interesting. You know, that obviously mm-hmm. these guys, although they're kind of different and they play different types of music, which is classed as country music, they still appreciate the old guys,
right.
And they still play and, you know, record some of their music, you know.
Just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I waiting not to rid my soul of one dark blot, to thee whose blood can cleanse each spot, O Lamb of God, I come, just as I am, though tossed about with many a conflict and many a doubt, fightings within and fears without, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. Just as I am, thou wilt receive, wilt welcome, pardon, cleanse, relieve, because thy promise I believe, O Lamb of God, I come.
That was Bill Anderson, great song there.
known in the within the country music scene as Whispering Bill for his soft vocal style and occasionally spoken narrations. Now, one thing that I found interesting when I was reading about Bill Anderson was that, from our point of view, Mike, we do interviews and stuff like that, that he actually did have a show where he had an interview show called Opry Backstage, and he had a talent show as well on a television on the Nashville channel. So behind the scenes, and he was very, he's very active in television and radio, and obviously producing all of his albums, 40 of studio albums to be precise. So really, really well known within the country music scene, Bill Anderson.
I was just thinking there, Ankh, you know, you gave up TV some time ago. Did you guys have a, once you got electricity at home, did you have a TV when you were a kid?
Yes, we did.
Oh, yep. Okay. And what would you watch, like Grand Ole Opry?
We'd watch the Grand Ole Opry, we'd watch Lawrence Welk, and we'd watch Disney World.
Oh, Lawrence Welk, huh?
And the Red Skelton Show was another favorite. Uh-huh. You know, My Father Knows Best and Leave It to Beaver. Uh-huh. Those are the ones I can think of off the top of my head. Uh-huh. Yeah, interesting story there was when I had children, the children were small, and the television broke. Mm. And I let it go. It was broke for a year. Mm-hmm. And the kids got along fine without it. We had family game nights and stuff instead.
Yeah.
So anyway, a year later, I was thinking, well, if I was a kid, you know, I should let them watch cartoons and stuff like that. I felt like I was depriving my children. So okay, I'll go get the television fixed. And when I got the television fixed, I remember yet it cost $10. It was a tube. That was when you just put in a new tube and fix the television.
Yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
So for $10, I fixed the television. But they were so out of the habit of not watching television, they literally did not get turned on for, I think it was like 2 or 3 weeks before they even turned it on, decided they were going to watch television. And it went for a while, and I can't remember how long, a few months, and the television broke again. Mm. I let it go for another year. This time I got it fixed, or I can't remember if I got it fixed or got a new television at that time, but I put it downstairs in our rec room, and nobody would go down there and watch television unless we did it as a family.
Yeah.
I can tell you, that's the best words of wisdom I give to any parent. It's like they felt like they were going to miss something if they went downstairs away from the rest of the family.
Yeah.
So they didn't do it unless we all went down to watch a show or something.
Mm. That's interesting.
So they didn't just sit in front of the television. My kids didn't watch that much television at all.
Yeah.
So inadvertently, the television breaking was kind of like an experiment that was forced upon you, and you know, you realized
it was good. We used to play games, and we'd just play, or we'd go outside and play ball, or we'd do something else where most kids would be glued to the television.
Yeah.
And they were so.
You know, I've said to Mike, and, you know, nowadays we have so many means of communication, you know, computers, phones, television, everything. And, you know, ironically, the communication has increased tenfold. The ability to communicate has increased tenfold. But our ability to sit and converse has reduced rapidly.
Yeah. Exactly. And I love to sit and visit. Yeah. That's what I miss. That's another thing. If I don't feel like going downstairs and do woodworking, I'll call one of my neighbors and say, hey, how about coming over for a cup of coffee or a glass of wine or something?
Yeah.
And we'll visit.
Yeah.
Which is much better than any television show.
I've been asking a few of my colleagues in work if we want to maybe meet in a coffee house and play cribbage, you know, because I love that, you know, just playing games.
Exactly.
And it's, you know, give me coffee and a cribbage board or a book, I'm fine.
Yeah. Some people think I'm weird, like wonder how do you get your news? It's like, I read a newspaper and I have a cell phone, and I have news apps on there, and I read my news, which takes a fraction of the time that it does to watch it on television, and I only have to listen to it once.
Well, Ankh, thank you so much for being on the show with us. We do have to wrap it up. We have one final question for you. How do you take your coffee?
How do I take my coffee? Mm-hmm. Just a little cream and decaf, usually.
Cream and decaf? Oh,
yeah, doctor's orders. You know, they... Ankh on caffeine is apparently not good.
Oh, I see.
Ah. So you can't enjoy a really good, strong cup of coffee then?
No, actually, I go to Dunkin' Donuts every morning. I get the dark roast coffee.
Nice.
That's non-decaf. That's what I do first thing in the morning.
It's not decaf.
Oh. No.
Are you outing
that's cheating,
yourself?
Though.
That's, you're outing yourself on radio?
Edit. We got to edit this out. If Pam hears.
I hope your doctor's not listening.
Yeah, really, you know? I asked him. He still said, well, it's not a good idea, but I cheat on that.
Well, once in the morning, that's probably okay, as long as you're not doing it all day long.
I do a lot more stupid stuff than that. That's probably going to kill me first.
Well, I hope it's not for a long, long time, sir.
It's been
great having you on the radio and talking to you and getting to know you a little bit better. And I really enjoyed it. So,
okay, well, thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
Hi, I'm Ellsworth, Unc Slater, and you've been listening to the Catskill Cabin Conversations on WGXC ACRA 90.7 FM. Special thanks to George, Gordon, and Billy from the band White for the theme music, and to everyone from WGXC. Thanks.